For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for... Bastards and wenches, welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I am Blue Onyx.
And joining us once again, after, geez, has it been like 2 years since he's been with us?
Well, that's the thing. He's kind of a ninja. He likes to disappear for a little bit, and then he pops up and goes, "Hey, I know you!" And then he jumps on your back, and then he punches you in the head a couple more times, and then he says, "Hey, I gotta go." And then he disappears for a little bit longer, and he comes back.
Please welcome back to the show, Darkheart.
It's good to be back.
I don't think people heard that.
That's because I'm not really feeling all that great.
Yes, he's very sick. He's going to be a little bit louder than 80 was last week on the Vagabonds.
Yeah. I love 80, but come on.
She's so messy.
No. See, that's the funny thing. It's like when you get her in front of a mic or something like that, she's like... And then when you get her in front of like a camera, she'll talk like... your ear off, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what the hell? Come on.
Do we want me to talk like this? And the pickles? And the shakes? And the pickles?
Michael Jackson? No, I'm just kidding.
Would you like to get some popsicles downstairs?
Get in the van.
I got some popsicles in my basement.
Get in the van.
Get your fat ass.
Get your fat ass back here.
Anyway, it's great to have you back with us, joining the team.
It definitely feels good to be back. I know it's been a long hiatus, but dealing with a lot and then being sick and dealing with a lot and then being sick. I'm okay.
You heard that. Dealing with a lot, being sick, dealing a lot and being sick.
Well, at least she's not...
at the same time.
At least she's not like the concept of me. I'm sick and tired of being sick.
Sick and tired.
Yeah, that too.
Speaking of stuff that I'm sick and tired of, good radio stations disappearing. So, WBCN goes away, FNX goes away, and, okay, maybe I wasn't a big listener of it, but Oldies 103 now disappears.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say Oldies 103.3?
Yes. It's now WAMP, Amp Radio, where you can listen to Flo Rida all the time.
Okay, I'm definitely done with this show now. I am not doing this anymore. They got rid of a really good oldie station that's been around for years. I listen to oldies. Yeah, you would not think that Darkheart listens to oldies, but I do.
I would know that myself just looking at you.
Oldies 103.3.
Classic stuff. And now they're getting rid of classic stuff and turning it into crap just like these R&B and hip-hop singers do.
Yes. And it's just total bullshit that they're taking away all the good radio stations. Here's the worst part. The entire staff and crew of Oldies 103.3, they didn't have like 3 months notice like FNX did with this whole Clear Channel thing. 24 hours they were given.
Oh, okay.
24 hours.
See, now, that's the brilliance of it all nowadays, is that we could tell people, be like, hey, we're just going to have a meeting in this room. Just get in this room right now. Hold on 1 second. I'll be back. And they slam the door, and then there's a special button called Trappe on the blender, and it fucking just presses the button, and it sucks out the floor from underneath them and kills them all.
It's a 12 frog in a blender.
It's beautiful liquefactions of a company, such as a radio station, in one fell swoop.
Total joke cartoon styled.
It is. It is. It really is.
You don't even want to get me started.
I mean, what's left anyway? There's 100.3.
I'm telling you, the next thing to go, Kiss 108.
See, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Because Kiss 108's gone down the crapper for these past few years.
Yes, it has. But, you know, it's still a classic radio station.
Yeah. I'm just tired of, like, you know, the whole poppy crap and stuff like that. It's just, you know.
That's all we're getting.
Yes.
That or 94.5.
Yeah.
I'm not
too big. Still around? That's because it's black music.
I was a fan back in the old school days of 94.5, where JoJo Cookin' K was hosting the morning show, playing Snoop Doggy Dogg, Dr. Dre, Da Brat, Salt and Pepper, old school gangster rap style stuff. Now it's all poppy crap, and I just can't handle it. There used to be another rap radio station, 97.7, that played all the badass underground stuff, and I missed that to death.
Yeah, and it's not underground anymore.
No.
Unfortunately. I think 97.7, didn't that get bought out by
107.3.
Which is AAF.
Yes.
Or WAAF, I'm sorry. But I still love Mistress Carrie on WAF.
Yes, I love... she can do nasty things to me any day of the week.
Any day... Oh, man, I'm telling you, I went down to the... there was a paintball tournament they held back. She got shot in the boob with a paintball, and she's like, oh, no, medic! And, of course, a Navy SEAL is like, I'm a medic, I can save you. Don't worry, you'll not get breast cancer. Come here.
This is a lot of the reasons why, though, I don't listen to radios anymore.
Not anymore. That's
why... I just look for what's good, and you know what I do, actually? I go on my Comcast, I click on the rock and the metal and the alternative stations and stuff like that, and I listen to all my stuff there, and if something pops out, something sounds good, then I look it up, and I just download it from there.
Yep. Or you go and find it from your friends. But that was the main thing, is like, one of the commercials from, you know, FNX was, we're the main reason why your iPod has music in it, you know, but... You know, that's pretty damn true, because a lot of their music is that freaking good.
And yeah.
Of course, you know, it also pisses me off, because there's not really any, like, metal-type shows anymore. There's no alternative, really.
Right. Don't even get me started with that, because let me tell you, there was one metal concert that I really wanted to go to, and there was nobody could go with me, and it was to go see As I Lay Dying in concert in Boston, and I could have got tickets for, and nobody could go with me. And I was really, really pissed off, because I don't like to go anywhere alone.
Yeah, well, I understand that, dude. Yeah, I'm the same way. It's more fun with friends.
It is. It's more fun with friends. And I was really pissed, because I really wanted to see As I Lay Dying. And they were playing with Under Oath. And two of my favorite bands. And I could not go see them. So
yeah,
I'm not even going to get into it, because that's just for another time.
All right. Now, speaking of metal bands that are having a bad day, what's this about the Lamb of God lead singer being arrested for manslaughter charges in some European country?
They called Liam a fucking god.
I bet he killed somebody with his dick. I don't know.
Alright, so here's the news. Lamb of God frontman Randy Blythe has been arrested and charged with manslaughter in Prague for a 2010 incident that reportedly resulted in the death of a concert goer. According to MTV News, Czech media reports that the 2010 incident involved a member of the audience who kept coming on stage during the show. The man was ejected, later dying of head injuries sustained during the altercation.
How the hell is that his fault? Exactly. Did he punch him in the face or something?
No. It's saying that charged him with crime of bodily harm of fourth degree and resulting in the death of a fan. So it's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So it's like, some kid did it, who was friends with this kid, who was a fan of Lamb of God, ergo it's Randy Blythe's fault.
I think maybe my main concept was, is the kid got his ass kicked in a mosh pit. Then they somehow tossed him towards the security, where the security forgot and tossed him on stage, and then they ripped him off stage, tossed him back into the mosh pit, and then he got fucking killed. But that's probably, you know, hearsay. But for the most part, yeah, that doesn't... I don't know how much that's going to flow. You know, he's probably got a really good lawyer that will be able to take care of this. It's not. Hopefully. I don't think he should be serving time for something like that. I mean, it's a concert. Shit, fucking, you know, unless he was, like, unless he started a goddamn riot or shit like the stuff from when they did the, what was it, the 99 friggin'...
Woodstock 99?
Woodstock 99, where they fucking burnt down the whole, like, you know... The stereo tower there in the middle and fucking...
Yeah, which was awful.
Which was fucking nuts.
Yeah, they totally tarnished the Woodstock name after that incident. That's why there hasn't been one since.
Yeah.
But looks like you're very close to the microphone. You got something to say about this?
Oh, no, I was just going to say Johnny Cochran. That's it.
Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran.
Well, he's dead.
But yeah, he's dead.
Wait, he's dead?
Yeah, he's been dead.
He's been dead for a decade.
Holy crap, I didn't
see,
know
this
that.
Is what happens when Darkheart disappears. He just disappears and he never hears about any news.
I was in hibernation.
Yeah. Oh, Darkheart, you're hibernation.
I was in hibernation because of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
Freeze!
Chill out!
Alright, well, let's
get into the chopper.
Let's get the fucking show rolling, you sons of bitches.
Well, there's a silver lining in this cloud. No, not like the silver lining that's that title of that movie that was that trailer for that film that was playing right before this movie that we saw today.
There's a silver lining in my ass crack. Will you just shut up and go?
WFNX has been rescued. It will now exist as an online radio station at www.wfnx.com. All the DJs, Julie Kramer, Paul Driscoll, Adam 12, the whole gang, will be back for this.
Bullshit!
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I have to say, bullshit.
Why are you calling bullshit?
I call bullshit.
Why?
Because that means I have to have a fucking radio station, a radio setup on my friggin', like, car that can pick up the internet so I can go and, like, listen to it in my car. Not
4G!
Bullshit. No, I shouldn't have to go 4G. I shouldn't have to, like, waste my time and... Exactly. Because a lot of people, right now, they, like, that's the problem with a lot of the companies now is they're not giving unlimited things. I mean, now I've got unlimited, but I don't know how much that's going to change when I go and get my renew my contract by the end of this year.
Yeah.
I have 3G, of course, which is, you know, it's not as bad, but I mean, you know, I could, once I get 4G and stuff like that, they could go and fucking... take the contract that I originally had here with the unlimited thing, and they can wipe their ass with it. It's just how the economy goes and how they've been going lately.
Yes.
Yeah, all that crap.
But for me to go and have to go to that extent to listen to it, they're going to have a diminishing amount of people that, you know, because you can't... I mean, if you're doing, you know, landscaping or... work at the house or you're painting and stuff like that and you pop on the radio and your favorite radio station happens to be WFNX, it's going to be now harder to freaking just go and pop that on. Usually everybody, their whole setup is you pop some batteries into a thing or you plug it into the wall and turn on the radio and be like, bam, there it is.
Well, you can always plug in your laptop outside. If you have a laptop, you can plug it in outside.
With a wireless connection.
Yes.
And a Wi-Fi router.
Most laptops have that.
No. I'm saying Wi-Fi router, like, in the house.
Well, maybe your neighbor. You're going
to have to steal off your neighbor. You're going to have to go over your neighbor's house, knock their freaking door down, get the code, and then be able to do it, if you're that poor. Or
yes.
You don't have a router. I mean, yeah. I know some people that are like that. Sorry.
They're your neighbors, aren't they?
No. I've known people that are like that. As soon as somebody gets a Wi-Fi thing, they all hook onto it, and then, you know...
Right.
Reap the benefits.
But it's better than nothing, and I've been listening to FNX a lot more lately with it, you know, shutting down on the radio itself. They've been playing a lot more unknown artists on there, which I think is a good thing.
But also it's a bad thing because that's them going off air anyways, because they won't be able to play it repetitive in that sense. You won't be able to get in, you know.
Right, on the radio, but you can listen to it online. But like I said, it's better than nothing. Would you be happy if Julie Kramer was just at home eating donuts on a couch wondering why am I not on the air right now?
I'd be much happier with her cuddling with me, but that's just me, man. I'd be all cuddly-wuddly with her. Very cuddly-wuddly.
Very cuddly-wuddly?
Very, very cuddly-wuddly.
But
I would still be like, okay, we need to get you back on radio airwaves because you're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess it's good that they're going to have it online set up. I'm just still kind of like, fuck, man, come on, really? You know, doesn't work. You're gonna have to. FNX will have to do this. They will have to get an app so you can just live stream it right off your phone.
They do. They have an app. They have it on for...
I don't think anybody told me these things. I knew about Johnny Cochran, but I didn't know about this. What the fuck?
They do have an app for it. Yeah, let me show you.
Oh, wait. Is it on iPhone only? Because you can do it. You can stream it all you want, you jerk.
I just want to say, fuck Apple. I'm an Android person.
Yeah, see, that's on Apple.
I think it's on for Apple. I mean, for all the other stuff. Let me double check that for you. All
right, fine. Android, I'll go look it up. I'll look it up on my Android.
And while they're looking that up, I actually just want to tell you there's a great band that you really should listen to. Bluonic, I think you heard some.
No.
Animals as Leaders. If you like instrumental metal...
Oh, yeah, you were playing that one time. Like that.
Animals as Leaders is a great band. They have two albums out right now. They might be working on a third. I don't know, but they're definitely a great band. Definitely look them up. You'll like it. One of the best songs, especially to really rock out to, it's one of my favorites.
That's Clam Bait, is jerk.
CAFO. C-A-F-O.
Unofficial.
Is an awesome rock song to jam out to. And yeah, I think you really enjoy their music. It's very much it's progressive instrumental metal. Definitely, it's great. Trust me, just check out the album. Weightless is their latest one that came out in 2011 from last year. So yeah, definitely check that one.
Very
out.
Very
and
sexy.
The one beforehand.
Very,
very, very sexy.
All right. Well, apparently I put that to friggin' rest. Sorry. FX doesn't have it on Droid, jerk.
I'm sorry, but you can still go on to WFNX.com and click listen here.
I want an app. Phone. I want an app. App.
Just blame market. Just blame the bastards that took away FNX.
Fuck you, Claire Cho.
Yep. Who are going to either change it into a country western or Spanish talk radio station.
I swear to God, if... Nothing against Spanish programming, but like everything is going Spanish. I just like seriously.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Bueno.
The music and everything is going Spanish now.
Everything going reggae, going to this crap that we have to keep listening to.
My concept is
and ruining old music.
Is what happened to Rome, where they were trying to keep the barbarians out, and the barbarians moved out in little by little, and then they just took over. So what they're doing is trying to get us back for the whole, you know, America, you know, versus the Spanish-American War there. So, yeah, that's, yeah.
You see?
We're screwed. We're just screwed. Just well, leave it at that. We're screwed.
Yeah, America's already been
surprised screwed. They're not busting through the fucking door.
America's
and killing
screwed
us all
themselves
right
because all they care about is freaking money.
Yep, damn you, Clear Channel. It's all your fault. And when the time comes, when the books have been written about this great war that we are, that these guys are predicting, it's going to say, it all started when Clear Channel said, you know what? We're going to take away the best radio station in the Boston area, WFNX, and we're going to replace it with total crap. And that's when the whole fall of society is going to happen. Yep, there goes the train. The choo-choo train of despair.
Where the fuck did that come from?
It's actually my dad's iTouch.
Okay.
Which is still one of the worst things that Apple has come up with for. I'm playing with my iTouch.
Yeah, I'm eye-touching myself.
Fuck you, Apple. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Saying that in front of my iPad... And my MacBook Pro.
Fuck you, Android all the way. I don't give a shit.
Kiss of my arse.
Moving on.
The only thing this Apple right here, this Apple MacBook Pro crap right here is good for is editing.
Which is
you
what
you can't play fucking games
yes,
on it.
Yes,
you can't play fucking
stuff.
Proper
no.
games.
I
on
I play fucking Portal on this.
You know.
So Portal is a
StarCraft 2.
For a good gaming laptop,
Serious Sam.
Nope.
Get an Asus. It's a good gaming laptop.
You need something like Assassin's Creed at fucking high velocity.
They are coming out with that for the Mac.
Fine. See? Came out for PC. He has to wait for Mac. What happened to all that expensive money you put towards that computer and waiting now? They're causing you more time. Assholes.
I'm a patient motherfucker, and besides, that's
I'm
why
patient too, but I'm not that patient.
That's why I have my consoles upstairs for video games. That's why I have my Xbox 360 and PS3 and sex. Wii and pretty soon a Wii U.
Sexbox.
Oh, great. This, you know, not to go off topic or anything like that, but I just noticed that this medicine is going to cause me liver damage.
Fantastic.
That's great. So
that's if you chug the whole thing at once.
You might see me drop dead before this show is over.
No. That's if you're triple C'ing.
Yeah. That's if you're trying to actually get drunk off the alcohol in it.
Yeah, I had that explained to me one time. I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's after four doses. I just took number two. Here's number three.
Yay! Shot.
That's when you're going to start seeing wonderful colors.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm getting a medical assistance. All right, so why don't we get to the music that we're actually going to
play, okay, right? So this is what...
Smoke.
So yeah. we're gonna talk about a band that people should take more of a cue from, not this reggaeton crap, a group known as M-Flow. This is the sixth album from the J-pop, hip-hop, electronica duo formed by Verbal and Taku Takahashi. These guys are known for their big collaborations and club heavy beats, but this is like their first album in 5 years and their first non-loves album since the 2001 Expo. And for those of you who don't know, when M-Flow does a collaboration album, it's not M-Flow featuring such and such, M-Flow featuring such and such with such and such. It's M-Flow loves Bloodless Saxophone, M-Flow loves Dumping Panda, because they're showing, we're giving a big shout out, we love these guys, we're pushing them out there more for everyone else to listen to. And the other reason why this is their first album in 5 years is that both of the members have been busy. Verbal has been busy with Teriyaki Boys and his solo album from last year, Visionaire, which was number 18 on my top albums of 2011 list, and featured amazing collaborations with Lil Wayne, Drake, and Nicki Minaj. And while...
terrible people.
But he made them sound good in this album.
Oh, good. If you can make them sound good, if you can make Flavor Flav sound good, alright, then you're a freaking genius.
You see, Flavor Flav used to sound good, just time hasn't been on his side.
And too many cloths.
Yes.
To his head.
Yeah.
I do have to agree that he does look like something wrapped in bacon and burnt to a crisp.
I could have sworn I saw a bus driver that looked just like him.
But while Verbal was doing that, the other member, Taku Takahashi, he started his own online hip-hop techno radio station called Block FM, which is really good. Like, it's not just Japanese artists. He's got English artists on there hosting their own radio shows and playing some really good shit.
So apparently we gotta get you on there.
Maybe.
Yes, we gotta get you on there.
I'm trying to get into the whole Japanese, you know, music and genre and stuff like that. I've only listened to a few bands like Duran Grey, X Japan, things like that. But I haven't listened to a lot of it lately.
Well,
but
thankfully you're joining us again, because you're gonna be listening to a whole lot more of them.
But I actually heard this album. It's actually really good. So
yeah, because what I've always liked about M-Flow, they've always been about reaching out to, like, a global audience. Not just about the Asian market. They're about reaching out to everybody, which is why the majority of the album is in English.
Which is pretty impressive because of the fact that, I'm sorry. I think the complexity of speaking Japanese to the English language, because, I don't know, it seems like...
it's a different flow to it.
It's a different thing where he's able to go from speaking Japanese to English, like, and that sound proper English, and sound proper Japanese.
Right.
Like, that's amazing.
Well, the thing with Verbal is, he actually went to college at Boston College.
Well, then there you go. That's what I'm saying, is the fact that he has the capabilities of not just speaking Japanese, but English as a second language.
Right. And I think he knows Korean, too, because he's technically of Korean ancestry.
Son of a bitch.
So he could do all three languages.
See, I wish I had those capabilities of being, like, a super genius. I mean, I'm somewhat semi-intellectual. I'm not as intellectual as I want to be, but I'm saying the capabilities of people that are able to do multiple languages, that's beyond me.
I mean, just listen to when Verbal raps. He can just jump into English and Japanese just with the snap of his finger, and it would just flow perfectly. And not a lot of people can do that. There's only one other... Actually, there's not just one rapper. There's a bunch of rappers in Japan who can do that. His friends in Teriyaki Boys, Rip Slime, Shingo 2, who did the theme song for Samurai Champloo.
That's because Japan is just awesome.
I still think they want to take us over.
No. It's not.
If they just take over the music industry, I wouldn't mind. Because they do a great job with it. Granted,
maybe we'll get better music.
Yeah. I mean, what we were listening to in the car on the way from and to the movies, just these songs, it's very reminiscent of this guy that I'm holding up right now, a Mr. Deadmau5.
Deadmau5.
It's like rapping over Deadmau5, and that's actually something that...
That's not easy to completely do because of the fact of like how the electronic, you know... The synthesizing moves.
Right.
It's kind of hard to put an actual beat flow. I mean, I know we have our famous little rapper himself there, Bus Driver. He has his beat set up, but it's not as electronic as it could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could definitely see that it you know, the whole M flow was the concept. Like, it was a mixture of electronic music with, you know, the rapping, which is damn hard to really put together. But I couldn't even, if M flow was in the room right now, it's kind of hard to be like, how would you explain the actual, basis of your music right here? Because one minute it's, rap, the next minute it's electronic, and then there's some classical music in the background. what the hell is it?
It's just something that... They were the one of the first hip-hop groups to do this. Before LMFAO and Black Eyed Peas stole it from them.
I swear to God, I'm going to shoot both members of LMFAO in the face, because I cannot stand that stupid song every time I'm shuffling anymore. I am going to break it off in the face.
Well, see, I
can't stand that song.
You know what? Because I will say this. I was a security guard at a mall, and every time I tried to avoid the food court like the plague, because every time I went by the food court, there was the goddamn music TVs up there, and people could text what they wanted to play. It was that song. It was, oh man, it was every other.
It was
song.
A bunch of
right.
crap.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. LMFAO's first album, Party Rock. This doesn't have the actual Party Rock song on there.
Yeah.
Their first album, Party Rock, is really good. I really liked it. But I felt like they just went to Crap City on their second album, Sorry for Party Rocking. If you're sorry about it, why do you keep doing it?
I don't know. You know, that's another thing that has happened with music industry, is the fact that really great bands have pretty much, I felt, sold out and become crap. There were some really great bands that I really appreciated when I first heard them, and then they just kind of went into, that whole, everybody else type thing. Like, Mudvayne. Mudvayne was one of my favorite bands. Always has been. But Mudvayne, after...
Look at this son of a bitch right here! I love this kid! I love him!
After, I say after the third album is when they started going downhill.
Well, that's because they came a little bit more commercialized.
I know exactly which album it was. It was The New Game, where it went downhill.
Oh my god! It is like listening to Metallica's Reload. It was terrible.
You see, I like Reload, but I'm sorry. Mudvayne singing about being a fish?
No. See, that song is about being a fish out of water. The concept is it's, well, it... What I feel the song is about is about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact is when, you know, when you're in your element, you feel comfortable. You're able to do shit. You're able to go around. But if you are that fish in the water that gets taken out of your element and you sit there flopping around on the fucking table, you're gonna fucking die. So that's more or less what it's saying. But mm-hmm. I can understand because it's like, because he says, I'm a fish out of water, you know, I'm a fish out of water. And then, you know, it goes into the whole song.
Yes.
But if you don't acknowledge that in the starting of the song, that rest of that song I felt was alright. I felt it was okay. But you two fuckers, what the fuck?
I am Dory. Just keep swimming.
The thing, because you know what? I've always been a big fan of Mudvayne. Like, let me think. When LD50 came out, huge fan. Like, loved the album. The next album, what was that? What was the second album? It was like End of All Things to Come.
Yes,
very good album. I enjoyed that album
and
too.
And then they did like and a couple did, side albums, yeah, which was concert onlys, and then they did Lost and Found.
They did Lost and Found, and I actually enjoyed Lost and Found. And then, like I said, it became,
was Lost and Found the one where they were like aliens, or was that the beginning of the end?
That was the end of All Things to Come.
Oh, the end of All Things to Come.
Yeah, that's when they were wearing all the face paint and doing all that other stuff. When it got to this new one, they more or less had like...
Yeah, they became...
They kind of looked like an emo look, more or less.
Yeah, the makeup was gone. You could see them and stuff
and
like that.
And a lot of their music was started to be like featured in like the Saw movie and stuff like that.
And I really liked their music. And then like I said, because you know what? Like, when you actually listen to like Load and Reload of Metallica... If it was by anybody else, it was a great album. But when you hear it from Metallica, it just didn't feel like them. You know what I'm saying? Like, the album itself, if you took it and say someone like Godsmack or someone like, just like somebody else
like
just
Iron
made
Maiden.
That album. Like Iron Maiden. If somebody made that album, then you can say, all right, this was a good album. But from Metallica, you expect something better.
Okay.
The same thing goes for Mudvayne when they came out with By the People, For the People, and like the other albums after that, and their self-titled album. Like, you just expect it more. You expect it better from them. And I play bass, and Ryan Martini is an awesome bassist. And he's one of my few bassists that I like to go by. And I kind of just felt like it was a waste of his talent through those albums.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I agree. But why don't we go back to the album we were...
No, can I just shit on Metallica one more time?
Fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I remember watching that VH1 special about Metallica where it went through that whole, like, you know, this whole setup from when, you know, the bus crash happened that killed their original...
Cliff. Oh, yeah.
They're bassist, right? So they killed him, and then when they went into this whole process, and then they got to, you know, like, the Black Album or something like that?
Yeah, with Jason Newsted.
That was, like, when it was, like, really good, and then there was this whole time where they did all their concerts, and then they took a break, and they came back all spiritual, like, and blah, 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 like, you know, the lead singer was out going and hunting the fucking, the main guitarist there was, like...
Kurt.
Was fucking just sitting and like doing his like yoga and all this other shit, and I'm like,
what happened?
That's what happened. They all went into, oh, I want to go and kick somebody's ass to, I feel fucking at peace now. Let's try metal, guys.
Well, it should have just stuck instrumental or something.
Okay, hold on. I can give them the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. Blah, 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 San Francisco Symphony
S&M.
Orchestra. The S&M album. I can give them that because of the fact that I do like the concept of classical music, but they were able to mix that in with the original Metallica music.
Hence why Apocalyptica is so amazing.
Exactly. I really enjoyed it, and Apocalyptica is awesome.
But to get back to M-Flow... Their concept of being able to put music together actually flows.
Yes,
it's like holy shit.
Not to mention their great music videos.
Although I do have to say, some of the music. Well, yeah, of course that music video. We're gonna have to show you that music video later. Let's just say Asian women.
I think I'm gonna enjoy that video. Dark Heart loves some Asians.
When you hear me go Asian, and then or something along those lines. You can definitely count on. I'm talking about the women, the hot women. What are you doing over there?
I have no idea.
Dark Heart, playing with yourself.
Loves some Asian women. I still love white women a little bit more, but I still love me some Asians.
He's a big dumb animal, people. But you gotta love Dark Heart. there were some of the.
In all due respect.
Yeah. There were some things that I did find with the M-Flow album, like some of the music or the sounds that they were using, I felt like were reused, like symphonized, like music. Like,
yeah.
You know, they probably just were using one of those pianos that had like music already done and everything like that, so they just went and, you know, they just kept on using them to make the sounds to go with the flow, I guess, in their sense. But I, for me, I like the album that we're listening to when we were just riding around and stuff like that, going from point A to point B. It was pretty enjoyable.
I mean, it's an album that I think should be played in the clubs more. I think it will get a lot of people dancing. I mean, it's one of those things that does cross borders, crosses races, crosses language barriers. It's what M4 is great at. And not a lot of hip-hop artists can do that. I mean, yes, we get, like, Eminem is huge here, but outside in, like, the Asian areas, some European countries, yes, he's big, but as a whole, he's mostly an American rapper, more akin to the American audience. M-Flow, meanwhile, is about everybody and everything. They know their audience because they want everybody included.
Peace, harmony, dogs and cats living together in a world of bass and Jell-O pudding.
What is it run by? Martin Luther King? What the?
Hey, that guy was a great guy. All right? Oh, fuck with him.
He's freaking immortal.
So, yeah. So sadly, this album, as we speak, is not available in America. So what you've got to do is go on to a website like, oh, I don't know, cdjapan.co.jp, type in M-Flow, F-L-O, square one, and import the motherfucker, because it will be your big party album for years to come.
Yes, so it's perfect to be able to toss this in for, you know, like, let's say 4th of July is coming up, you toss that in your thing, and people will just sit there and dance to it.
Yes.
It's very good.
Very, very good.
Dance! Boogie Wonderland! Oh, no, it's not like that.
Oh. But yes, it's a great album. It is a great album, indeed. So, shall we move on to movies?
No, don't you get movies. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Movies? Come on, really?
Movies.
All right, fine.
Why are you trying to kill movies?
So, there's a bunch of movies on a plate, and there's a bunch which we're already happy for a show.
That's perfectly fine.
That is perfectly fine. We have a bunch of movies on the plate. The first one is the new one from Ridley Scott, the so-called prequel to Alien known as Prometheus.
Well, actually, prequel. Because there's supposed to be two more movies after this or some shit?
Yes, Prometheus, I'm a big fan of the Alien franchise. I've watched every single one, even the one that didn't even get a sequel to it, which was Alien Resurrection, which I thought they were going to make Alien 5 and finish off the series and to know what happened with them.
Well, that's the thing. That's what that Aliens Colonial Marines video game is supposed to do. It's supposed to be like some sort of conclusion to the franchise.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Because, you know, it's funny. I've always been a big fan of Aliens. I've also been a big fan of Predator. I like when they mixed them in together.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got to play a lot of the video games because a lot of people kept saying that the video games suck. But I still want to play it anyway. But anyway, for the movie-wise and stuff like that, when I heard that this movie was going, it was a prequel to the Alien franchise, it was pretty much like a part of the franchise, but it's going to be its own thing. I had to watch it. I've always been a big fan of Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott usually makes some really great sci-fi movies, and this one was no different. I really enjoyed the concept of the movie. And for people who don't understand, I can definitely explain it to you. But I actually want to get their opinions on the movie. Bluonic, what do you think about the movie?
Thank you, Motor Writer. Do we have that, like, special, like, you know, the chair lift that pops him up, like, we're going to be on a stage, and the chair lifts and just... Blue, fuck you. You're telling me the story now. No, in your political opinion, what do you talk about this? Prometheus, yes, it definitely, it was not what I expected when I was, because I've seen the commercial so many times, and I was expecting, like, oh shit, they're popping out of our chest, everybody's fucking dying! No, not in this case, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This was explaining the concept of squiblies, more or less, in that concept.
Oh my God. It has
little squids that were, like, molesting inside your body and was going to pop out, but apparently she was able to get to the surgery table and get it out of her in time, but I have to say, she was fucking hardcore, and I didn't expect her to be the main character either. What's her name?
Noonie Rapace.
Noonie Rapace.
Okay. Yes, okay. From the original girl with the dragon tattoo.
She pretty much is the Ripley of this franchise.
Yeah.
She pretty much is the Ripley of this franchise.
I think it's Ripley. Is it Ripley? It's Ridley.
Ridley?
No, it's Ripley.
You're thinking Ridley Scott.
No, it's Ripley.
Ripley.
Ripley?
It's Ripley.
So, but no. But
believe it or not.
I was thinking Ripley from Super Metroid.
But with the setup with the characters that they had, some of the characters didn't seem like they should have been really even fucking part of it. Like, I felt like, you know, the geologist there. Geologist, correct?
I like rocks!
Yeah, he's like, you know what I'm here for? I love fucking rocks. I love them hard! It's like, whoa, buddy. And, like, no, that's the thing about that guy. He's been in a lot of more, like, hardcore-type movies.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of, like, you know, really, like, or I was like, I was not expecting him because he had the whole badass shaved, you know, side of his head with the tattoos and everything like that. And I thought he was just, like, he was actually, like, a space-type marine, not a freaking geologist. I mean, who fucking decided that? I mean, I can understand the guy with the glasses. That guy, I was like, okay, he's a geek. That guy is definitely a geek, and he's trying to, like, hang out with the geologist.
So, Mike, why did you become a geologist? Well, as a child, the teacher used to tell me they had rocks in my head. Yeah. So, I just put two and two together and be like, oh, just study rocks then.
I look at them as pretty much the red shirts from Star Trek. They're there to die.
Spoiler alert, does fucking happen in a kind of a messed up way.
By the vagina.
Actually,
like a vagina cobra. That's what we can call it. A vagina cobra.
Actually, if you actually really like, if you plan on watching the movie, don't listen. If you are planning to watch the movie, then I'm going to spoil it for you. Pretty much in a way they die, but don't die. you have to watch it to understand what that whole thing is.
Can we count this as a zombie? Like, literally, like, he...
I don't care. Can we count it as a zombie? Or do we count it as an alien force taking over his body for a little bit?
I would think Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes, but with
vagina monsters.
Well, with no talking.
I was thinking Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but that's just me. There's got to be popcorn involved. But with the setup that had to go from that character getting molested by a vagina snake, and then, like, ending up in the way he did because they were like, oh, there's movement outside the craft, and then they find his body folded, like, basically in half on the ground, and they're like, how the hell did this get here? And then he goes and turns around, what the hell is it? I don't know. And then he raises up behind him and he goes, you might want to look behind you. Oh, shit! And then he's fucking, he Superman's the motherfucker across the room.
First of all, are you a red shirt? Yeah.
Hey, I need you to read something on my fist. What is it? That's what it is.
And then what's that character's name? The one that was dating Noonie Rapace. He gets the infection.
Oh, Charlie?
Yeah, poor Charlie in the movie.
Hey, was it Charlie?
How do you like your fist to my balls technique?
Yeah, it was Charlie.
The character of Charlie. And then...
Oh, God, he was the guy in Devil. He was the one in the elevator.
Yep, he was.
That's right. And then I enjoyed the movie.
I thought I was going to have an aneurysm.
And spoiler, after he dies, the robot goes, you know, well, tell me something, pre-Ridley. Did you and Charlie, you know, make babies together? Did he put his penis in your vagina anytime earlier beforehand? Well, because you got a squid girl coming out.
Yeah, well, that was just, kind of effed up because, the Michael Fassbender?
Yeah, he was in this movie.
Fassbender is he's the robot named David. And yes. Of course, I suggest you go to imdb.com and you go and look up Prometheus. And they have one of the trailers. There's pre-trailers that go into the movie and stuff like that. Like, the pre-trailer is of David. He's like a robot, a special robot that they have made for Wayland. And, of course, it has Guy Pearce in another one. Guy Pearce, which I was kind of like, why the hell didn't they have that in there? Because a lot of people probably hadn't seen the trailer beforehand, and they were probably like, who's the old fucker in this movie, you know? And lo and behold, it's Guy Pearce.
As Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, basically. But to show that Guy Pearce was in there and whatnot, and, you know, They should have done that. They should have actually, like, done, like, a little commercial aspect of, like, the David bod. And then they should have been, like, showing the other commercial of Weyland Industries trying to take on the industry and saying that we're basically going to take out all these other diseases because that's what we do best.
He's like the Raja Gould of this movie, trying to find the Lazarus Pit.
or basically Pirates of the Caribbean and trying to get the Fountain of Youth. So,
but so those who are probably want to know about the movie or who don't mind getting spoiled, pretty much how they start this franchise and everything like that, like for the beginning story, is pretty much there was this race that pretty much developed a weapon to be able to take over people.
And the engineers.
The engineers, they created this.
But not only that, they created the human race.
Yeah, they pretty much. Or at least, because genetically they are human.
Yes, they have the same DNA.
So they either created them or the humans became an evolution of them. We don't know exactly, but they're probably going to explain it more so through the next two movies, as they continue on with the series.
Think it's just going to be one more movie.
I think it's going to be two because of the fact that, we're used to trilogies. And also the fact that there's probably a lot, there's so many different ways that they can go with this movie. But I actually enjoy the heck out of it. It's a great start so far. We got to see a different form of what the aliens look like. I mean, because this is a pre-evolution. So, like, this is where they first start off with what they first look like and stuff like that. And then how they evolved later on. So, we're going to be able to see that. And it's I personally can't wait. Like, I think it's going to be great. What did you think of it, King?
Well, I felt they did a fantastic job with the whole telling of the origin story and how they actually reveal how these aliens came to be in the alien quadrilogy.
Warning, tentacle raping may apply.
Yes. It was stand out. And did you notice how the queen alien was actually on the wall being crucified in that little area with all the other canisters and everything?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know if she was crucified, but I think maybe she was just, like, chained up or something.
That's usually how it goes.
But the thing is, too, the way that they showed it, too, is that, one, it was a weapon at first.
Yes.
Before it even became an alien, it was a weapon.
Yes.
And it was supposed to attack humans. And make them pretty much into, like, mindless zombie-wise, as it were. Because, I mean, if you see during, like, different things in the movie of how it affected people. But if you actually take a look at certain parts, it actually affected the worms that were in the ground there.
Yes.
It affected them, and that's pretty much how the whole aura
started. Goo plus the worms equals those vagina colors.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that, like, when that dude got infected and had sex with her, which created...
Which originally she wasn't able to get pregnant because of something...
Mm-hmm. Of something else, there's something that was wrong with her. She wasn't originally able to.
Right.
Now she was. Now she is. And she pretty much did, like, a C-section to herself.
Quickly, back to that whole section where those what look like mealworms, as they call them.
Yeah.
The mealworms that, turn into our vagina cobras or snakes or whatever you want to call them. It was kind of like, where the fuck do those bugs come from? Like, because that thing was basically hermetically sealed. And I do, because when we're watching that whole part where David, the robot, goes and plays with the little buttons that just look like,
he's playing Alien Simon.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop. They went through the Stargate.
Yeah. He touches the wall a couple times and he molests it and whatever. And then all of a sudden he's like green digital, big humanoid type characters that look like they have like what looks like elephant things on their things, but apparently they find out that there's
space. It's just a case.
They're like space
pygmy elephants. They look like pygmy elephants.
So they go and there's like three of them, right? They ran through the hallway, and two got in there, and one plopped down, and probably I think one of them exploded out of their chest, but also he got decapitated because his head got cut off.
Yeah.
So his head, when it ended up on the other side, basically got hermetically sealed. Now, the only thing that I had a problem with that was, where the fuck did the other two aliens go?
They, actually, it showed,
Is there a way to go from that place into another separate place or
something? Because the thing that was sealed, when they opened it up, that is where the cargo bay was. So we went through the cargo bay, and that's how they reached
where
the
thing was. Because I was still kind of, like, confused on that.
And only one survived.
Yeah.
Only one survived, and that was...
That was the one that was in the
that was still
in the incubator.
In the incubator. And I think something must have happened to the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was three, correct?
Yeah, there was at least there was three. So
there was four. One got decapitated. One got saved by that. And then
the other two must have gotten killed or something like that.
Not only that, there was when they were doing the with the goddamn useless geologist, because apparently they got lost on the way back. And they're, like, walking around everywhere. They go and find this door that got closed and everything like that. And a bunch of the aliens, like, on top of each other, like, crawling. And they all, like, just died there. So it was kind of like, what the hell happened with that part? But
well, also, they showed at the beginning of the movie that there was that one engineer that drank some stuff. Some of that black stuff, actually, that they were showing throughout the movie.
He ends up deteriorating, basically, falls in the water and dying. Yeah.
So that was pretty
soon that took place on planet Earth.
That did because it was supposed to be because in Scotland that's where they found these hieroglyphics.
Either that or it's on their home planet. It could have been their home planet, which could have been separate from Earth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it could have been a lot of different things. We don't know exactly.
No. I think this was a test planet.
Yeah.
I think they did it. I think it was on our planet.
And the fact that he drank it himself could mean a few different things. It could be one that maybe he didn't want to go through with the plan of, because, they were supposed to be going to Earth to eradicate it and spend this whole thing. And for him to drink this, he must have not wanted a part of it. For some reason or something.
It could also be that he was chosen to do it. Like, he could have been, like, a sacrifice of sorts.
Oh, to try it out and to see what's going on. But he totally deteriorated and went into the water. So, so we know what that stuff can do to you. You know what I'm saying? In a way, But it's just, it worked differently with everybody. The thing is, it worked differently for certain people and stuff like that.
Right.
So, we don't know exactly how this stuff exactly works.
Someone on the internet posted like a whole chart on how everything works, like that engineers plus the black goo equals humans. Humans plus the black goo equals infected. Infected plus humans equals squid girl. Squid girl plus engineer equals alien.
Yeah.
Which actually,
or the squid
something
on anything pretty much equals something,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Plus, it was a giant one,
yes.
So it started off really huge at first, and then as it evolved, it were able to be smaller. As the aliens grew, and you start to see the mother alien, which I'm sure you'll probably eventually see, probably in the next couple of movies or whatever. But with that whole thing, like it's just something that you just can't wait for. Like, you want to see more of the story.
Yes.
You want to see how this story is going to open up and how it's going to evolve. And, like,
she wants to go back where they came from.
Exactly. And because it ended like that, and going to their coordinates, you don't know what's going to happen now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it opens up new avenues. It opens up of... what's going on, finding out answers, slowly but sure, you're going to find out answers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, the android...
So long as they don't pull a Lost.
Yes, as long as they don't pull a Lost, we'll be fine.
The third one, it all ends in a church.
Exactly. Because let me tell you, I saw Lost, and I got lost in the first few episodes, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm not watching this anymore. But the movie's really good. You definitely see it, especially if you're a fan of the Alien franchise. You definitely want to see it. And I know it's really going to develop into something really good.
All right, yeah. So how about we go around the table and give a rating?
We out of five. We don't do the thumbs up or thumbs down anymore. That's how long it's been since he's been here.
Oh, wow.
So 0 to 5, you rate.
We're going to do like that, like Ebert and Roper.
I know what we could do is thumbs down, thumbs up, and the middle finger. No, it's good.
Middle finger would be for fuck you, this movie sucks, and you can just go.
Yeah.
All right. Thumbs down means
No. I'm just joking. That's what we used to do. But anyway.
Oh, all right.
We could do out of five.
Okay. I personally give this a 4 out of 5. I think it was a good movie. I think they did a good story. I can definitely understand it. I can take a look at everything, but that's also because I'm very observant too. So I mean, if you're not observant enough, or you can't pay attention enough, then you probably shouldn't watch this movie, or you won't get it.
Not to interrupt you, but do you know that there's a decibel system? You could do like 4.5 or 4.8 or 4.
Oh, okay.
Just in case you like it a little bit more than that.
But no, I definitely want to say 4 stars. It's not at the 5-star mark. It's not epic like Avengers epic, but it's definitely a good movie. It's 4 stars, definitely.
All right. You know what? I have to agree with you on the whole 4-star aspect of it. It was a great movie. But it's one of those films that's going to leave you asking more questions than the ones that they were answering.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a letdown for some people. It's a great film. Ridley Scott is back in true form in this. And I'm hoping to see more of this story unfold in the near future.
I really hope they just don't end it like that. Because if they just end it like that and they don't come up with more movies and they decide not to, I'm going to be really pissed. Because you know what? They did that with freaking Sliders. They've done that with other shows that have come out. Farscape.
Firefly.
And Frog. Like, all those really good shows, and they ended on freaking cliffhangers. Fuck you. Don't do that to us, please.
I'm still pissed off at HBO for canceling Deadwood after that hell cliffhanger.
Yes. Oh my god. Any show that they end on a fucking cliffhanger or with a disappointment like they did with Smallville, fuck you.
Miss Supercell.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned that in your upcoming feature review of Strike Back.
That's like ending Fast and the Furious where it's at right now. Go ahead, Blue. What is your rating?
Well, I kind of have enjoyed it. I can go towards a 4.2 with this movie. I can kind of, you know, it did leave me wondering why the hell, certain aspects of like, why the fuck is this robot? I know he's automated and whatnot, but why the fuck doesn't he have... Because I talked with my friend, and I do agree on his point of view, and I'm trying to see about actually maybe even bringing him on to the show or at one point, or even making him a writer, because he had some good points at one part. But he said that there's like, why the hell doesn't the robot have, like, test subject? Like, usually when we go on explorations, there should be a goddamn monkey involved. Or there should be, like, some kind of, like, little hamster or mouse or some shit like that. We go, huh, I wonder what happens when we inject this little motherfucker with this black shit and watch it go and, like, you know.
There's a few explanations for that, actually.
Let me see if you are going to say the same thing I'm going to say.
Let me guess, because of the 2-year aspect?
No. That's actually not where I was going to go with it. Because this is more of a prequel to the Alien franchise, he was more of a beginning subject for the androids. Like, take for instance, in the first Alien movie, you don't find out for a long time that one of the guys is an android.
Yeah, but this is one of those things where those people knew he was an android, but also he had his mischievous, you know, like he was very evil in his moving and stuff.
In my opinion, I felt like he was an android, but he had the mindset of a child, or personality of a child, or he was more curious about what happens when this does this. I don't think he was evil at all. He was just too curious of an alien, just wondering what happens if this and that happens.
But as my friend said, it's the concept of greed and whatnot that, you know, that really drives, you know, Wayland Industries. Wayland Industries is like, we're trying to find out what we could do so we can turn it into a weapon ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, it's not even just that, too. There's something I just remembered, too, about it, too, is the fact that, one, there probably wasn't any test subjects, too, because they probably didn't even know that there was going to be something there.
Yeah,
because if you look at something like what's her name? TTX from Terminator 3 over there. What's her name? Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
All right. She didn't even believe that there was something there. She didn't believe there was something there until they actually proved that there was something there. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I don't think she even knew that, what's his name, Waylon, was even on the freaking ship.
Yeah.
For the longest time, the only person that knew someone was on the ship was the android.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, personally, I don't think it was just the android had a mind of a child. I think it was the fact that he knew what he was doing. Like, he had, like the Joker.
Now, I would count him as the Bishop. You know, he was, like, one of the main pieces in, like, the whole chess game.
Right. Yeah. Like, he knew what he was doing all the way throughout. Like, everything he did was smart.
Yes.
Everything he did was smart. Like, he knew everything and stuff like that. Like
I said, how to speak the alien.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was the one that, like... And I love the fact, just to say, he's the guy from who played Magneto on the first X-Men First Class, which I actually really enjoy his work. I actually want to see more of him. But the fact that everything that he do was calculated. Like it was like just how the Joker was. Joker is able to make a plan on the whim, and it would just work. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't even... Because he's the one who believes in chaos and all the stuff like that. It was almost like that. Like, everything... Like, he didn't even plan it out. He just did it. And it just... Whatever he needed to know worked. You know what I'm saying? So, it was sort of like that. You know, like... you know, putting the thing in his drink. Putting the thing in the guy's drink. So they could see what... You know, how it would work and stuff like that. And what it would do to him. And
yeah, but he did it in a diabolical way. It's just like, what would you do to meet that, you know?
Yeah.
What would you do to meet that first human being and stuff? Yeah. I mean, other than yourself, like another life form.
So he knew how to play on people's emotions. He knew who to do it to, too.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, he didn't say nothing to the captain. He didn't say nothing to the other two guys that were with the captain. And the only people that he was around was Charlize Theron, the two people that were leading the exploration.
Yep.
And that's all that mattered. Yep. Like, because, one, they were the ones that were brought on this project anyway because of what they believed. You know what I'm saying? And because of all of that stuff. So, he was just really smart. He knew what he was doing and stuff like that. And the fact that now... He's ahead, and he's going with Pre-Ripley to this new planet, to this planet, trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Right.
So, you know he's going to have some part now in the next movie. He has to.
Yeah.
Like, he has to have some part in the next movie. I'm sure she's going to fix him up or something like that, put him back together in some way, shape, or form. So that they can figure out what's going on, they can work together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, with this movie, it opens up new avenues. You know there's going to be sequels. You know there's definitely going to be more information brought about slowly but surely. And I can't wait, you know what I'm saying? And you had to put in the point two. You're like the person on The Price is Right who vote a dollar.
I will fucking put a dollar down.
No, he's the one who's next to the guy who puts down a dollar and goes... $2.
Yes. And then motherfucker. <Yeah. laughs> The price is wrong, Bob.
So I watching like the Dave Chappelle episode and that happened. The guy was just like, the person just was like, I'll put $1,000 down on that one. I'll put $1,001. And then Dave Chappelle goes, motherfucker.
The Family Guy episode. Fuck you.
And speaking of Family Guy, let us segue to the other movie we got to see.
Ted!
Oh my god. You know what? I'm going to save my for last. So, what do you got?
So,
I think you go first, King.
So, nothing's more powerful than a child's wish. Except an Apache helicopter. It's got missiles.
And machine guns. You can't forget machine guns.
It's actually pretty awesome. It's
badass.
And, of course, in the words,
Patrick Stewart, you are the fucking man. I hope you ever listen to this podcast. Just know you are the fucking man. That's all I have to say.
He's going to come to our
final So, yeah, Child wishes that his new teddy bear comes to life, and lo and behold, it does. And at first, it gets some celebrity, but like Corey Feldman and Justin Bieber, people stop giving a shit and becomes a part of regular society.
Pretty much.
So, the child is all grown up and played by Mark Wahlberg, and he's got this nice relationship with Mila Kunis' character.
Lucky fucking bastard! You're a lucky fucking bastard! You know what? What should have happened on The Happening should have happened to you, you lucky bastard.
Actually, you admitting that you watched The Happening, that's just sad.
Hey, listen, I watched The Happening.
I thought we watched it with him.
No, yes, actually, I think we watched The Happening, and I'm the only one who actually got the movie.
No, I got the movie. I got it. But yeah. I still hate M. Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong.
Yes. Although, you know what? Devil wasn't that bad.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad. But you know what? Let's get back to 10. We don't want to get
too hard. We can make fun of M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, we can.
We can talk about the song when we make fun of M. Night Shyamalan. Maybe we should do that in the near future.
Yes.
But let's get back to Ted. He still has a teddy bear. It's part of his life. He's a roommate. Mila Kunis goes, it's either me or Ted. So Ted moves out, gets a job, but he's still a big part of Mark Wahlberg's life. And Mark Wahlberg is just trying as best as he can to balance between his best friend, his this Thunder Buddy, and his one true love.
You know who also could be his Thunder Buddy? The one that movie with the dog with had Owen Wilson in it and
Marley and Me.
Marmaduke.
Marley and Me. Yes, that can also be your Thunder Buddy.
Why would he be your Thunder Buddy?
Because of the fact that the dog hated thunder as well.
Oh. But he doesn't have the special thunder song.
No, he does not, because he can't talk.
Right.
Unless he can talk like Odie.
May I take over?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what to say now because I'm scared. No, I'm scared. Don't be scared. All right, so I want to say that this has to be one of, like, the all-star cast that I've, you know, I mean, usually I'm talking about that, but
this was a good
still wasn't players. Expecting like the lineup. We have Mark Wahlberg, Mila Kunis, Seth MacFarlane, Joel McHale,
Patrick Warburton,
Giovanni Ribisi, which was kind of a shock. I did not see him in any of the freaking trailers. I was like, where the hell did he come from? But he is one of the kind of characters later on that's kind of a main thing, especially with his creepy son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very creepy.
Matt Walsh, creepy. Of course, from the Upright Citizens Brigade. I love him to death.
We had cameos.
Patrick Stewart as the narrator.
There's one person in particular that we're forgetting here, and that is Flash Gordon himself.
I don't see him on here. No,
yes, Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon,
the original 1985 movie. Was it 85 when it came out?
I can't remember.
It was the year before I was born.
It was the year I was born. So, yes. He plays a pivotal role.
Actually, 1980.
1980?
Yeah, Sam Jones.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. Holy crap.
Can't believe it, man. Cannot believe
yes, the Flash character. Yes, Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon, shows up in this and plays a pivotal role. And the clusterfuck that happens that just ruins it for relationships everywhere.
And I do have to say, drugs, including
cocaine,
alcohol, cocaine, and weed, all involved.
Yes.
But yeah.
Terrible.
No, I think it was actually a kind of like a delight because of the fact that movie is just so crappy. It's
wonderful.
So crappy, it's good. It's like it's one of those things that it's like, wow.
It's a classic.
Hilarious, but it's wrong.
You can't go wrong. I mean, Queen does the music for it. It's like, it's Queen. It's automatically awesome.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's not as bad as watching Masters of the Universe.
Yeah. But it could be. Oh, poor tough one.
Like, even Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme was worse.
Oh, God. All right, well, anyways, back to Ted. The whole concept was the kid makes the big wish, you know, and everything like that. He comes alive, stardom, and then they get to a focal point where the plot kind of goes around their relationship. Ted is so used to being like the star action, you know, it's kind of felt like it was almost like how That's My Boy went, because That's My Boy, Adam Sandler's character was the party person. He didn't really do a real job. He was always like going on his fame and stuff like that. Ted kind of was like that. I mean, they're walking through the park and a bunch of girls go, "Oh, take a picture with us." And there he goes, like grabs one of the girls' boobs and takes pictures, and they're all laughing about it because it's funny.
Yes.
You know, it's like one of those things where it's one of those big joke things. But you know, when stuff finally gets serious where Mark Wahlberg has to decide between the two, he's trying to do his best to balance it because of the fact that Ted finally moves out. But Ted also is his... I want to say he's like... You know how they always give that whole concept of angels and, you know, demons on the yes. shoulders and stuff like that? There's just no angel. There's just no angel in yes. Mark Wahlberg, so he doesn't have a conscience in that sense of, like, you know, and Ted is right there on the other end going, "Dude, come over and smoke weed. Smoke weed with me. You
know, yeah, come to this party. Let's watch some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Cheers."
Dude, I swear to God, you come over here, I'll kick you out in 5 minutes. I swear to God. 5 minutes and, you know, you're gone. You know, that's it. I just want you to stop over. Just make a freaking, you know, make up something. Come over here. 5 minutes, and it ends up being, like, the whole day. Weird. So, it's one of those things where you got to kind of take a look at yourself sometimes, and you got to find out, do I have friends that tell me to come over for, like, a couple minutes, and then I stay there for more hours and get in trouble for it? You know.
Yes.
But, yeah, this is one of those things where Mark Wahlberg's character is 35 years old, and he's still not really a man because of the fact that he has his teddy bear, and the teddy bear is one of those things that keeps his childhood alive all the time.
Yes.
So it's... But Mila Kunis' character doesn't mind it until it gets to the point where she's like, "Dude, it's been 4 freaking years.
There's no ring
question, no question popped for a ring on my finger." There's
yes. just,
no, most women would be like, their time clock would be like, you know, in their ear every 2 seconds, which, you know, I can understand.
Get married! Have babies!
Yeah, for the most part. But yeah, I mean, the way that they did this movie, I say it's an instant classic. But also, there might be an issue with other people. I mean, outside of the New England area, because of the fact that Boston, you know, how it has its own enriched life and how they're making fun of, like, especially the Boston women part where he's explaining. He's like,
"They're not that bad," like, but you're saying that they're, like, not that bad means they're bad.
He's like, this is how the Boston women say it sound. "Oh, God. Oh, yes. Oh," and then they have their orgasm, and then they're like, "I gotta go get, that was so good, I gotta go to Pepperidge Farms." As he takes another bong hit. But yeah, he's just, but I mean, it's almost kind of true because apparently our women aren't as high status, you know, even though I've seen some beautiful
yes.
women.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We have seen tell you, we have seen some beautiful women.
Gorgeous women.
Yes, gorgeous.
Especially in the Boston area.
It's not as high caliber as the women that you could see, like, over Hollywood and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to give it to them.
I've been to Hollywood, the women there aren't, so.
You haven't been around Hollywood that much, shut up. So, anyways. The concept that I have is that, you know, like, it might not be as universally funny because of the fact that, you know, so many people outside of, you know, the Boston area
would not understand
the concept of how the Bostonian accent comes into play and how things go in. But I mean, if people can understand and laugh to Family Guy, even though yes. they might find that stupid, they might find this more a movie funnier because of the fact of how they designed it. I mean, it's so odd, it's so far-fetched that some kid could make, you know, a miracle-like wish and a teddy come alive that's about, what, not even 2 to 3 feet tall, walking around and, like, punching you in the face, joking around and stuff like that. But, you know, to have that whole concept of, you know, it's one of those people where they want to keep their childhood alive, but, you know, also have to deal with the maturity aspect, even though he works at a car rental place, like Enterprise or some shit. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which was kind of funny, but... And I felt like the way that they did the flow of the movie was just absolutely classic. And I think mm-hmm. now I could toss it over to Darkhari here and see what he has to say, because I just want to see what he has to say.
No,
point of view of him watching this movie.
I actually thoroughly enjoyed the hell out of the movie.
I have something interesting here.
No.
The one who voices Ted's "I love you" function... Tara Strong, who voiced Harley Quinn in Batman Arkham City, Juliet Starling in Lollipop Chainsaw.
I think that was a scary voice. No wonder why they were able to change. Yeah, I love you. Really? I love you. I want to be your friend forever.
I could have sworn I heard that from another doll.
I'm sorry, yes. But I also love the fact of how the parents react. It's like, my doll is alive. Look, Ma. He comes in. I love you. Jesus fucking Christ. Goes and everything down. He's just like, get away. Get me my gun. Is it a hug gun? Really?
And then just showing the news of the
You know what I was waiting for was a line like, oh my God, it's the Care Bears from hell. Run!
Look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did! Look what Jesus did!
Oh, man.
But yeah, I can suggest to you, seriously, this movie is not for the kiddies.
No.
We even got carded, and I, the teenage kid that goes and is like, yeah, I have to see your licenses, and I went, are you fucking serious? Are you joking with me? I'm like, damn, man, I'm 26 years old. What is this crap? I'm like, this is like Nazi Germany. What the hell? I was kind of like, what the hell? I mean, I could say, okay, look at Darkheart here. You still look like you're in freaking high school. No offense. But, which is good.
Yeah, they just like that. I was sure they like that card too.
What?
Especially when I shave.
Yeah, especially when I shave. But that was one of the things where I was like, oh, great. Because my nephew, he says that he's had this issue recently, like, going to the movies, because his girlfriend doesn't have, like, an official license, and or otherwise you have the permit, and you have to show the permit in order to buy the tickets to get into the theater. It's like, but okay, the one issue that I have with this setup is we bought the tickets, right?
Yes.
They didn't card us at the table, but they carded us when we were getting a ticket. So hold on one second. If I was under the age on that concept and stuff like that, I bought the ticket, but I gave the ticket to them, and they said, oh, no, let me see your license, and you don't have it.
Exactly.
So what it's the kind hell? Of a it's little like, too you're gonna late to kind of you're going to have hard. To refund that yes. money, or they're probably going to have to kick somebody out because they're going to be whipping somebody's ass.
Yes.
But besides that, to get back to the movie, like, they did such a fantastic job, besides that whole point of coming into this. Like, you know, to get into the movie, getting carded. But just the graphics on that, did you guys find any flaws with, like...
No, they did a great job.
You could tell he was CGI. Yeah. You could tell he was CGI'd a little, you know, on the whole, like, outer part, and then when they showed him when he was in regular bear mode, like, you know, at the first part when he was, you know, before he made the miracle wish. Mm-hmm. But when you see him, you know, like, in the moving around and stuff like that, I felt like the interaction between people, especially when he was kissing that girl, Tammy Lynn. He's kissing, and she's like, it looked like she was really getting into it with, like, you know, I was like, what the hell, really?
Yeah.
So, they did a fantastic job with the graphics, with the CGI effect. And I have to give it to Seth, because apparently I heard that this was, like, one of those things, like, his movie career is on the line, because of the fact is if you can't make anything, like, good right now, like, Hollywood just instantly drops it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised because of the fact that, like, Adam Sandler has lasted as long as he has. Like, I felt like there hasn't been really anything good in between from, like, you know, Happy Gilmore till That's My Boy. Like, That's My Boy, like, 2 weeks ago was, like, that's my favorite freaking movie I've ever seen. For comedy right now. Right now, it's just... Ted just pushed that out of fucking first place. Yeah. Because of how funny it is. And I mean, like, that's the whole thing that I have an issue with is if I saw Ted first and then I saw That's My Boy, I would have been like, oh, crap, I can't figure out if I like Ted more than, you know, That's My Boy. But that's the beautiful thing is right now, Hollywood East is coming into play. And it's really coming into play, like, big time. Actually, I was stuck in a traffic jam in Lynn. Because of Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler is recording yet again in Lynn at one of the schools that we have here.
Yes.
Actually, somebody that was driving the wheel, won't say my mom, was driving at the wheel and I almost turned on to where they were recording. But for the most part, it just goes to show you that the concept of Hollywood East is becoming a reality, even though they've had so many
legal issues. Which is good, because it's taken a long time for them to do this.
Yes. I mean...
Maybe that means we could probably finally get fucking jobs working in these films.
Something like that, because if we can finally get picked up as like a comedian acts or something along those lines, that we could join in and, you know, get to rub elbows with big wigs and rub off their little, like, you know, spit shine trophies and be like, hey, this is what could be you one day, you know? It's like, you know, that would be great. I'd be really happy for that because of the fact that they brought it over here to the, you know, to... The semi-great state of Massachusetts. Thank you, politics. You assholes.
Yes. So, while we rate this movie...
I want to say one more thing.
Okay. Oh, boy. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, boy.
If I can have sex with a girl in the back of my store and get a promotion from it, I would do it all the fucking time. This movie...
But you have to have the confidence and balls to be able to talk to your boss that way.
Exactly. And especially you got to talk to your boss like an ass.
As long as you mention the wife's box.
Yes.
Yes, you have to mention his wife's box and do it in the most serious face you could ever hold. And the guy will be like, that takes balls, sir.
You're hired.
You're hired. That and then, like, get the promotion.
Yeah. And
like,
get a fucking promotion afterwards.
Yes.
So, you know what? I'm going to do that now. I wish I could.
Yeah,
but
good luck on that one.
Yeah, I know, right?
But well, no, actually, you know what? With me, with doing my job, I think I could do it with my bosses because the stuff that we say when we're at work gets really fucked up. Yeah, I could really, yeah. I think I could move up the chain. As long as my upper boss wasn't involved. That's okay. No, great movie. Great movie.
Yes. So let's put a number to this.
You put number first.
I don't think I can give it a whole 5. I'll go for 4.9 out of 5.
It's interesting.
That's interesting. I would like to kind of know why the hell that happened. What was wrong?
What was the point one? Where was
not
the
a point
what
one?
Was, what price was wrong?
Point 0.0001.
What price was wrong, Bob, that you couldn't give him the point one?
You see, that's the issue. Yeah, it's kind of like with the... Maybe they could have went... You know what?
No Mila Kunis boobs or something like that?
Yeah, was it that?
Was it that?
No, because we've already seen her boobs in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Well, that...
No, we did not see her boobs in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I didn't get to see them.
I didn't get to see him either.
I've watched that movie 3 times.
There's a picture on the wall with her flashing her boobies like this. And I'm sorry you had to see that.
I had actually wanted to see the other girl's boobs. The blonde chick that worked at his place.
Tammy Lynn?
Yes. Who actually...
Is that because she was like a dumb redneck? Quincy?
Jessica Barth.
She was from Smallville. She played Supergirl in Smallville.
Really?
And she was able to play that dumb of an actress?
The blonde girl who worked with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, wait, that girl. I thought you meant like the girl that Ted was going on with.
Oh,
girl.
No.
I was about to say, what
I
the
wanted
hell?
To see her boobs, too. But still...
He's honest, everybody.
But still, though, I knew I recognized her because I was watching the movie and I was just like...
She's gorgeous. She's
Laura Vandervoort.
Yes, that's what's her name. She also played in B. But I remember her more so in Smallville. But
oh shit, yeah, she was that one of the lesbians, right? That got persecuted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. In V. Yeah. Damn.
But
gorgeous.
Good.
Never.
I'm definitely going to go with a 5 on this one.
I have to say 5. I have to.
I have to
because
say
of the fact that I gave a 5 to.
That's my boy.
That's my boy. I'm gonna have to equally trim that off at a 5 because both of them, you know, are great. But I would give probably like a good 5.2 right now if I could go over the aspect because Ted is just that much
a little
funnier.
Bit better.
But I still give it to Adam Sandler dealing with the whole setup with Vanilla Ice and you know to make it that much.
Okay, funnier. Because I was gonna say maybe I was gonna give I'd give it 4.9 because they didn't push the envelope as far as they could have. But then I remembered the shit on the floor.
Yeah, especially you got. Who would want to come home to their teddy bear smoking drugs
and with hookers?
4 hookers on the couch with him, and apparently somebody got a dare to go and shit on the floor. Like really, like that. That was probably I would not want to come home to that. I would have chopped
his shit.
Freaking leg off or something like that.
There would have been some rip fucking leg off,
right?
I mean, you know,
I don't have an excuse for not giving the whole point one for that. I do not have an excuse.
All right.
Well. And for that, I am ashamed of myself.
But anyways, with the whole setup that they did with it, there was serious landmarks that you could tell that were Boston, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Actually, the hotel that...
It's like rule number 17. Every movie based in Boston has to have the Fenway Park in one scene.
Yeah, exactly. They had the Fenway Park. Don't be surprised when you see it, because you. I was like, what? How the hell? Where did they roll into? Oh, son of a bitch. That looks familiar.
That looks like the place where you went to in the town.
And actually, the place where they stayed for Mark Wahlberg, I can't remember the name of the place.
Isn't it on Route 114?
No. Actually, that was in Boston. Son of a bitch. I knew it because of the fact I had to run by it. There was one day I was going to work when I was working in Boston, and the train, you know, got cut off at Copley, and I had to go towards the Fenway and stuff like that, and I booked it. I ran like a mile and a half, and of course I ran right by that place. I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, where am I? But a good thing I had GPS on my phone. But for the most part, yeah, when I was like, you know, when I was like, son of a bitch, I ran by that place before. it was pretty funny that they had a lot of like the landmarks and whatnot that you could tell from Boston.
And Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Alright, so what can we move on to next?
We're actually at the 1 hour 26 minute mark.
Son of a bitch.
We actually ran out of time.
We ran out
Mister,
of time.
Mister, we're not going to be able to do that much of the talking of the show.
We actually talked a lot.
Yes.
This is the first time we actually went only through half of the agenda, and it took us that long. Yay!
Fantastic. Oh yeah, that ninja game that we played, we could just automatically say it's up.
Yep. Yep,
automatic negative zero on my book.
Don't even get it.
Don't even
play the demo.
Yes. Play the demo it's and you're going to be like, I hate my life more it's because terrible. Of this.
Go back and play Kinect Sports, because Kinect Sports was probably the only great game I've ever played on Kinect.
Well, there might be a title that's going to come out next month that'll take that spot, but we'll get to that.
Is there the action sports one? I like the action sports one where you got to go do the flying squirrel suits for the skydiving. That's what I want to play.
Yeah.
That and the uncaged fighter thing, but that didn't really work well.
Yeah. So let's stick a fork into this podcast. Remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you would like us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardsbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and BlueOnic is on there at BlueOnic. I don't know if you have a Twitter account, do you?
No.
Plus, if he did, it wouldn't be Dark Knight right now. Because social media is so much fun. But anyways, we're also on www.facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade. Or otherwise, just when you're in your searching search bar in Facebook, just type in Boston Bass Brigade and it should pop up. Click on that. Like us. Love us. Whatever. And then, you know, send us a message and say, hey, we like your show. Or, hey, you hate our show. But then we'll talk with you about it. And then we'll find you.
Yes. And be sure to check out all the other shows under the lend of Esh, Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, Issues Program, Later Show,
Matt the Wad.
Yes, our friends, Matt the Wad, Game Reaction, The Vagabonds,
CPSMMA.com,
Digital Noob.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
We gotta start making a longer list now.
Yes, maybe we should just make a list. Now, next week, I know we're going to be off because I'm going to be on vacation. Which is kind of bittersweet because
next gone too.
You bastard! You would
at least next.
No, I'm just joking with you, man. Yeah. Go wherever you want, man. It's free country.
But it's kind of bittersweet because next week would have been our 3-year anniversary for Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yay, 3 years!
So maybe when
just
we come,
maybe
when we come back, we'll do something special for that.
No, we ain't gonna do this.
Plus, it would have been also 6 years since we technically started this whole thing back in the days of WM Salem, No Borders, No Race.
Fantastic.
Yes. Look how much we've grown.
Yay! I don't want to grow anymore.
Hey, look at that. I would have came back for that epic anniversary.
Yes. Hooray. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And this is a sick person.
Apparently he goes by the name Dark, and what's the other word? Art? Dark heart?
My afro.
You're not the afro samurai. You gotta go get a haircut.
My afro heart.
Yeah, afro heart.
No, it's dark heart. A sick dark heart.
Remind you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Damn it, you got training to say that as well.
Okay.
You're not supposed to say anything.